Robert, would you like to come and share what you were speaking about to us earlier? Thank you.
You know, sometimes in life, we only start praying when we're in trouble. And prayer is always a disaster. We've got to start praying. Well, this morning, I gave the children the car this weekend because they've got a big conference and I've got a lift here. And I thought, oh, God, I often walk back. It's an easy walk from here to the centre. But this time, I've got my guitar. And that new guitar is mahogany and it's maple, it's heavy. And with the case, it's about £30. And I'm walking back, I got round the corner and I thought, there's a bus stop. Father, I could really do with a bus. And bus came round the corner and she stopped for me in the middle of the bus stops and gave me a lift back. So often, sometimes in life, that we tend to sort of look for the big things we bring. But sometimes God wants to bless you in so many ways. Sometimes when you're walking out and you've just missed the last bus or something, God will provide. It's just a matter of having that faith and belief and saying, hey, Father, help. And that's what he's there for.
Thank you. That has nothing to do with my sermon. But it was just such a wonderful testimony to God answering prayer for us. Sometimes we expect God to do great big things and massive things, and that's great and that's fine. But God's there in the little things as well, isn't he? And I just asked Robert if he would share that with us. There are restaurants opening up and down the country that offer meals to customers and ask them to pay either what they think the meal is worth or what they can afford. There is the option to eat and pay nothing at all, if that's what the customer chooses to do. These restaurants are mainly staffed by volunteers, and the food is provided from a scheme that collects out-of-date food that would be thrown away by the supermarkets and shops and turns them into meals. They are run from community centres, churches and premises donated by the council, or low rent units, so the overheads are usually minimal. They apply for grants to help cover their other costs, such as a member of staff, heating and lighting, etc. They usually operate in areas where income is low and unemployment high, where families struggle to make ends meet and a cheap, nutritious meal is a godsend. And just before payday may be the only way the family can eat. But the restaurants are not restricted to those on low income. No one is asked to prove they are in need, and they're open to anyone who wants to eat there, whatever their reason. In a recent TV article on the scheme, a woman who was interviewed explained that she did not go to the restaurant because she was in poverty, but because she was lonely and couldn't afford to eat out all the time. But to go there meant she could meet people and give a reasonable donation for the meal. Others gave an indication of what they would pay: £1, £2, or £5. Some confessed that they ate for nothing. Another family told the reporter they ate there regularly because they approved of the way the project used food that would otherwise go to landfill and were happy to pay the price that they would pay in a normal restaurant because it avoided waste and was an environmentally friendly option. The food was in essence free, and it was left to the customer to decide what it is worth. Some who could have probably afforded to pay a lot paid nothing. Others who struggled gave something, and yet others paid the full price of the meal. Whilst the meal was offered free, there was in fact a cost involved. Certainly the supermarkets had given it instead of throwing it away, but the cost of the food had been borne by the company and probably passed on to its customers, you and I. There is a cost to the volunteer who gave their time and their labour for free to make the project work. There is the cost to those who offer the premises for free because they're unable to rent the premises commercially. All very interesting, I hear you say. But what has that got to do with the readings we've had this evening? And please relax, this is not a pitch for us as a church to start up a pay-what-you-want restaurant. However, this illustration intrigued me because I think this is how some Christians view the kingdom of heaven. It's free to get in, and we can choose how much or how little, if anything at all, we give to the kingdom's cause. And I think sometimes in our evangelism and our mission, we can give that impression. Enter the kingdom of God for free, open to all, access all areas, without cost and without any obligation. But this is not the kingdom that Jesus preached about. And it's not what the Bible teaches. Like the pay what you like restaurants, salvation is free, but it's not without cost. In order for each one of us to enter the kingdom, there is a price to pay, and one that is beyond each of our reach. Because the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And all who have sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that in order that people can receive eternal life, God himself paid the price by sending his son Jesus, who lived a sinless life and died, not for his own sins, but for ours. That is what Jesus' death on the cross means for each one of us, that if we accept his punishment for our sins, then our sins can be forgiven. And not only are we forgiven our sins, but we also share in Jesus' reward. As he was raised to life on the third day, so shall we share in that resurrection and experience eternal life. That gives us free entry into the kingdom, free access to eternal life. But even though it is free to us, it is not without cost. It cost Jesus everything. His reputation, humiliation, the pain of beatings, facing false accusations, enduring a rigged trial, being rejected by his own people, being deserted by his friends, being denied by one of his closest and loved disciples, suffering one of the vilest forms of execution, mocked by those who actively carried out his execution and those who watched, having soldiers gamble in front of him for his clothes, hanging on a cross in pain and in agony, he gave up his life that we may go free because he paid the cost. Acts 13:39 says, through him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification we are not able to obtain under the law of Moses. And that verse from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I don't know whether you've ever been in the town and a young person has been there giving out leaflets and if you're like me, they ignore me and look for a younger person to give the leaflet to. Alex would be a prime candidate because these are tickets to admission to a nightclub and the receiver can receive free admission on a certain date. And entry is indeed free. But once inside, the drinks are excessively high, and what should have been a free night out turns into be a very expensive one. This shouldn't be the way that we do evangelism. We shouldn't lead people to believe that free entry is everything. The cost that Jesus paid for the forgiveness of our sins, and that requires a response from the receiver. a commitment to turn away from sin and follow Jesus, to become a disciple. In the illustration, we do not become the customer choosing how much we pay. We become the volunteer, dedicating ourselves to the kingdom's cause. And that can be costly. In our reading from Romans 12, Paul urges us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. In verse 2, he speaks about testing and approving of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for your life. And Jesus, as we heard from Kath this morning, came to bring fullness of life. John 10, verse 9 reads, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So if we are to enjoy the full life, to understand and accept the good and pleasing and perfect plans that God has for our lives, then we need to think differently. The opening of that reading that Esme read for us is, "Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We need to think differently to the world around us. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This morning, Kath was thinking about what brings fullness of life, what goals people have in life. And the world's way of looking at things are very different to how we as disciples of Jesus should look at. In the illustration that I gave earlier, the world's way would be to look at the cost and how little we could get away with paying and still get the benefits. Paul tells us that to enjoy the full benefits of being the Christian, we need to become living sacrifices, a response in worship to the fact that God has paid the cost for our salvation. So which kind of disciple do we want to be? A disciple that chooses how much they will pay in response to Christ's sacrifice? Or one who is obedient to God and gives their whole life as an offering to God? Laying aside each day our own desires to follow him, putting all our energy and resources at his disposal, and trusting him to guide us, and doing this out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. In the reading we had from Luke, Jesus is clear that there is a cost to following him. When people came to volunteer to be his disciples, Jesus challenges them to see if they're willing to pay that cost. His responses may seem harsh, but Jesus wants us to understand that the cost of being a true follower, then neither hardships, nor bereavements, nor family ties should keep anyone from following him. Paul goes on in Romans 12 to talk about our transformed way of thinking. The world's way of thinking is self-centred, self-seeking, self-serving. He then uses the illustration of being part of a body. Each part has its function. They're not all the same, but each is as important to the well-being of the whole. We all know how difficult life can be if one part of our body doesn't function as it should, and how that can affect everything we do. Back pain, toothache, migraines, organs failing, muscle cramping doesn't just affect the part of the body that is damaged. The whole body and our whole lives are affected by it. When one bit of us hurts, it becomes a focus for everything. I have been bit, not by a great big vicious ulceration or a nasty cat, but by a fly. Little tiny creature that's bit my thumb. You can probably see how sore and throbbing it is, even from the back. It woke me up in the middle of the night, and I had to get out of bed and find some cream that I could put on it to stop it throbbing. And then I discovered I got another one just here, and that one was hurting as well. And I was amazed at such a tiny little thing had caused so much of a problem. Of course, being bitten by a fly in this country is a sort of minor irritation, isn't it? In other countries, a tiny little mosquito can be life-threatening and giving people malaria. But this injury that we have becomes a focus for everything. The body is also a good example of the church, because each one of us is called to serve. We're not all called to do the same task. Otherwise, the kitchen or the office would become so overcrowded, we wouldn't be able to work. But each role in the life of the church is really important and valuable in order that we can function and achieve the mission of the church, which is to worship God and to share the good news of Jesus with others. We do that in many and varied ways, and need many and varied gifts in order to achieve this. What part are you playing in the life of the church? Is God calling you to do something different? What gifts and talents has He given you to use? We will soon be putting up the annual list of roles to be elected at the AGM. We need to be thinking and praying not only about who might be asked, who we might ask to stand and take on a role, but whether God is calling us to respond to a new challenge. Is God calling you to be a deacon or to lead worship? Do we have a new preacher in the congregation this evening? Paul says we have different gifts, and we should serve according to the gifts that we've been given in order that we can be fulfilled and that we can play a part in building the kingdom of God. We are not all called to do the same task, but we are all called to participate in the same goal. What kind of disciple are you? One who listens and obeys? One who follows the Master on the road of life, experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus promised? Or are you a consumer Christian, choosing how much you will pay? Jesus paid the cost for forgiveness of sins. He gave Himself and His life for you. We read in the Bible, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." What will your response be to the God who loves you so much He gave His only Son, so that you may believe in Him and not perish but have eternal life, fullness of life? John 8:36 reads, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Eternal life is free, but it's not without God.